What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful Select Q&A show. If you hear a little buzzing in the background, I got a fan going. It's hot. I think we'll all be okay. Let's go ahead and get into these questions. Eloquent says, will we ever see the demon version of Finn Balor again? Yeah, for sure we'll see that. I mean, we saw it so often in NXT. I don't see any reason they wouldn't eventually bring that back. I don't know when they'll do it. Again, that's one of those things that's it's like a wait for fans and then it'll probably happen type of thing. Skylar Russell says, if you were a journalist for anything other than wrestling, what would you choose? I'm not sure if I could be on anything but wrestling based on like how I act on social media and stuff like that and some of the things that I say. And the like when I do the Wrestle Talk stuff, I really turn it up and I do like character stuff. I couldn't do that if it was like basketball or baseball or something. But ideally, it would be covering the NBA. That would be something that I would like to do. But Brett Dawson, I consider him a mentor. I think he's one of the best sports writers in the world. Like, he's having trouble getting work because of the pandemic. So who knows? My work has flourished during the pandemic. So I'm very lucky that I put my eggs in this basket. But I had the opportunity to write for a lot of local papers, but I don't want to cover like middle school golf or seventh grade volleyball or something like that. That's not really my bag. No disrespect to those. It's just not something I would enjoy like this. Who should be Bayley's next challenger? It should not be Sasha. And we'll get into that for this reason. Somebody says, will Sasha and Bayley be split up in the draft? I think they should. Here is exactly what I think should happen. I think that Bayley and Sasha Banks should retain the tag team titles at Payback. This leads to Shayna and Nia having their own match, or maybe they tag again the next night. Riot Squad beats them, somebody else beats them, whatever. You can give Riot Squad a push. Maybe they can eventually win the titles. But you see the pressure getting to Bayley over and over again, week after week after week. Towards the end of September, maybe early October, Sasha and Bayley lose the tag titles. And they lose them because, as I've mentioned, Bayley sees Sasha getting pinned and she does not help her because the pressure's to her. She can't defend two titles. It's too much for her. And Sasha thinks of all the things that she's done to help her. And Bayley doesn't know that Sasha saw it, doesn't even know that the cameras picked it up. But Sasha did, and she confronts Bayley about it and says, you don't care about me, I don't care about you, I'm coming for your title. But then she gets drafted. She gets drafted. So this is October, right? Tentatively. We'll say October. Well, you've only got 2 months before the Royal Rumble. You can do a Survivor Series match, Raw versus SmackDown, and they can come face-to-face, and Bayley's like, ah, hell no. Ah, hell no. And then she hits the bricks. She gets counted out of her Survivor Series match. She leaves her team high and dry. So what does that do? Well, that sets up all the SmackDown women to chase after Bayley in the weeks and months that follow Survivor Series, but it also teases that one more time. Sasha Banks is trying to get into the Royal Rumble match. She sees Bayley at the December pay-per-view, whatever. Sasha Banks wins the 2021 Royal Rumble. Well, who does she pick to face? It's pretty damn obvious she's picking Bayley. You can stretch this out till WrestleMania and get a big-time WrestleMania match out of it. That's the way. That's the way. Manuel says, do you know if Cesaro is interested in going to AEW because Cody's constantly mentioning him? So does Jericho, Young Bucks, and now Brody on BTE. Cesaro is one of the most well-regarded people in wrestling. Like, there have been multiple times that we've been talking wrestling with other guys, and they just bring up Cesaro. Jon Moxley brought him up in our interview. He's talked about how much that he missed wrestling him. I don't know if Cesaro has any interest. As far as who Bayley's next challenger should be, I think she should win it. I really think Bayley should hold the title until WrestleMania and Sasha should beat her. Here's the thing. Normally, I would say, oh, Naomi should be the challenger, but they have 50-50'd her so much. However, Naomi has that win over Bayley in, like, what, a minute and a half? So why shouldn't Naomi get the title shot? Okay, it was like 2.5 minutes. I don't know what the hell time it was, but Naomi has a win over Lacey Evans in July. She's got the win over Bayley in August. I would quite honestly probably just throw out another match, maybe even have Naomi beat Sasha and Bayley doesn't help Sasha. So that probably should be the next way to go. Skyler says, are you an avid collector of any wrestling merchandise, figures, Funko, shirts, title belts, etc.? I have three title belts. Two of them are run-of-the-mill replicas that I won wrestling on the indies, and they let me keep them. The companies didn't exist much longer after that, so they let me keep them. And my wife bought me a $1 million belt replica for our engagement, because I always thought that was, like, the coolest belt ever. It is not great. I was not an avid collector of any wrestling merchandise until maybe 2 months ago, 2-3 months ago. There's a place called Toy Headquarters in Lexington that Ryder and Hawkins, Matt Cardona, and Brian Myers went to. And I thought it was amazing. And I went there and met the guy that ran it, Nathan. Incredible dude. He's become a friend of mine. And the last figures that I ever really had when I was like 11, 12 were the Jax Bone Crunchers. So I was like, you know what? I want to start a Nation of Domination in-box collection set. They should have never gave me money. They should have never given me money to just buy stuff. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to start collecting some loose Jax. And now I just want to collect everything. And I'm sitting here like, why? Why am I collecting all these? They sit in a box in my storage room, and occasionally I use them for a bit on a show. But I just want them to have them. I've done some unboxing videos. I bought a Taz ECW figure a while back. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't play with them. I don't display them. I don't do really anything. It's just one of those things that, from a peace of mind type of thing, it just makes me feel better that I have them. It reminds me of my youth when there were less worries and less concerns. And you can take wrestling a little less seriously than I have to sometimes. Also, I always go to thrift shops and Goodwills and stuff like that, and I look up, like, I look to find if there are any vintage wrestling shirts. And then I'll buy them, no matter what. I'll buy them, whether they fit me or not, and then I'll usually give them to somebody or trade them to somebody or something like that. Young Bibby says, do you think Wade Barrett and Ryback should have been world champions in WWE? At the very least, Ryback should have been a perennial challenger, and Wade Barrett should have been a world champion, yes, for sure. Any update on the Hall of Fame 2020? Nope, no update. Will AEW have fans for the 827 episode and going forward, or just the Thursday episode? I think going forward they will, but that is hardly confirmed thus far. I have asked AEW about whether or not they're going to do fans at All Out and what the media situation is going to be. I have not gotten any update on that. Sean says, when do you think Sasha and Bayley lose their tag titles? With WWE, probably this Sunday. However, I think it should be right before Sasha gets drafted. Eloquent says, why did WWE think they could build up a pay-per-view's worth of feuds in 1 week before payback? I don't know why they scheduled it like that, but this isn't like just a brand new scheduling. They had this on the books as far back as June, from what I understand. And we posted that when we had, like, the draft update and all that stuff. There was always an August 30th. I don't want to say always. Not in, like, they didn't plan this in 1999. But going back several months, there was an August 30th show set. There were rumors of Evolution. I don't think that was ever supposed to be the case. But I think that they thought, Roman Reigns is back. We'll do this retribution thing. I think they're feeling a lot more comfortable right now than they did. And I think they have enough, honestly. I think a lot of it will be retread. Sorry for the stutter there. But I think they have enough. Knight says, as the Chris Jericho of wrestling journalism, how do you keep coming up with these ideas, old dong lord? How did you find the wisdom for your current masterpiece, #FTF? For those that don't know, I do some appearances on WrestleTalk and Quizzlemania. And they have a catchphrase, jam that jam. And I debuted one, man of the people, and I would say, fuck that fuck. I try to be as ridiculous as possible. Like, as you guys have seen, sometimes I'm not the best with criticism, and sometimes there are some things that I take a little seriously, like my work, my specific work. I take that very seriously. Being accurate with you guys, I take that very seriously. not being disrespectful to the person behind the character, I've learned to take that more seriously, because I wasn't always like that. I used to just say shit with no regard, and that was stupid. Now you got to be a little more reserved in that type of thing and be smarter about it and not say stupid shit that's going to hurt people. So I try to be as playful as possible with this stuff. Like, there was one where I went on there and I hit on somebody's mom. He who will not be mentioned. But his mom popped up on the show, so that became a thing. We did the Dong Lord gimmick. I try to just think of the most ridiculous, out-of-character things for me that people wouldn't necessarily assume that I would do, and I try to do them. And a lot of it helps that we have a lot of penis-related sponsors on the podcast, too. Oh, Jesus. So I guess that explains it about as best I can. Eloquent says, is Veda Scott signed to AEW? When is Excalibur coming back? I don't think she is yet. There are levels to the signings that AEW is doing. A lot of them are on, like, exclusive PPA, I think, which is paid per appearance. I don't know what Veda's is. I will reach out and ask her, because I would love to talk to her about that. When is Excalibur coming back? I have not heard an update on Excalibur whatsoever. I don't know if it's tied to the storyline that reemerged from years and years ago, but I haven't heard anything. I've asked, and I haven't heard anything. Sean Garner says, when do you see Roman Reigns winning the Universal title back? Probably Sunday. Probably Sunday. If not, then he won't be a factor in the decision. Skyler says, who do you think are the most credible people to challenge Cross for the NXT title? I don't see that many people that I would believe is a legit threat to him besides Balor and maybe Thatcher. Well, Balor just won. Thatcher just lost. Adam Cole is there. Adam Cole can say that new champion, new challenger. Ciampa can come back for revenge. Johnny Gargano can say that he wants his opportunity. There's a lot of options for carrying Cross because he hasn't ran the gamut yet. Any update on where we'll see the rest of Bullet Club and Impact, since Good Brothers touted about Impact working with New Japan? Well, I don't know if they touted it. They hope so. And Tama Tonga told me the same thing. He said, New Japan is very hesitant to work with other people because they can't trust other people, but this is the best opportunity that they have. Keep in mind, Impact, under this regime, bought Access TV, Anthem bought Access TV, and kicked New Japan off. Kicked them off the air. Previous regimes, which was Jeff Jarrett, worked with New Japan and did not work well with them. Also, previous regimes booked Okada very terribly and switched New Japan titles without asking New Japan. New Japan does not forget things. I've talked to a lot of New Japan wrestlers about this. They do not forget this type of stuff. So I don't blame them, but man, there are a lot of bridges to be rebuilt. Scott D'Amore, I believe, tried to, but I don't know if he has. Reed says, if the Four Horsemen happen in AEW, besides FTR, who else is going in, you think? I would go Hangman Page and... I'd probably go Hangman Page and Cody. I think those are the best options. Becky Daycarter has a great question. What do you make of Sonya's backstage promo after SummerSlam saying, do not call me that ever again? Could you see her getting around the stipulation by returning under her real name or perhaps a mix of the two? Hopefully not a legit repackage because the character as is, it's fantastic. So I can tell you that I would not use her real name coming back. That is not good. I wish I hadn't used my real name writing. Sonya Deville is a woman who has been stalked and almost kidnapped. I would definitely not return under her real name. I would return under something else, a different gimmick, different name. But not Daria. Not her real name. That's a nightmare waiting to happen. These wrestlers deserve what privacy they can have. And I know a lot of people think, oh, well, you can just look it up. You can. And she has been on Tough Enough as that. But you try your best to keep that separate. Becky also says, how do merch sales work in WWE? Do wrestlers get a percentage of each item sold? Is that a negotiable rate? Yes. Royalties and I think it can be negotiable if they have a good agent. Mark says, with Mandy and Sonya's story done for now, Does Mandy get a title shot, or is she going to be in the title picture or just be with Otis? I think for right now, she's just going to be with Otis. But I don't hate her as a title challenger in, like, October. Get her a couple more wins. Naomi should probably get that next title shot because she just beat Bayley on TV. So there's really no reason not to. It's just sad that they've 50-50'd Naomi so much to the point to where a lot of people won't believe that she's going to win. And that's the problem. Reed says, what were your thoughts on AEW deceiving people by trying to give fake spoilers? I thought it was a good idea because I was just waiting for the former Eric Rowan to come out and make the ending overproduced. They even said he went by a new name to make everything seem real. This was not AEW. Tony Khan hit me up immediately and said, there are fake spoilers out there. So they were not trying to make you all think there were fake spoilers. Somebody on Reddit just posted fake spoilers. So I don't think that was AEW trying to deceive people. And if so, they didn't try to deceive me, because the owner of the company told me otherwise. Brian Bayless says, with Cody seemingly distancing himself from the Elite, have you heard of any conflict between them? I haven't heard of any conflict. I've heard they're not as close as they used to be, but that's nothing that Cody hasn't said publicly. George Cruz says, has Mance Warner left MLW? I noticed his shirts were taken down from Pro Wrestling Tees, and there's no mention of the company in his Twitter bio, although I'm not sure he had anything there to begin with. I don't know. I sent a tweet to, or not a tweet, a DM to him as soon as I saw this message. So if it gets answered during this show, I'll let you know. But as of now, I've not heard. It's hard to tell whose contracts have expired and haven't expired. Manuel says, do you know if there's something going on between NWA and AEW? NWA would like that. Thunder Rosa has taken charge with a lot of stuff with NWA right now in the absence of Lagana. More power to her, but she's going and doing the damn thing. Manuel says, do you think Miro shows up at All In? Or you mean All Out? No, I don't. I think he's headed to New Japan, personally. Dylan says, you had a story about NXT talent putting over coaches. Do you know of any AEW coaches that wrestlers have put over, especially for helping improve talent like Nyla Rose and Penelope Ford? I always get a lot of positive feedback about Jerry Lynn and how well he handles things. And I get a lot of positive feedback about Billy Gunn for his psychology. Jake says, I was going to ask how long before Roman was inserted into the title picture, but I already got that answer. Is it a dangerous play of putting him in a title match immediately, especially since there was a lot of buzz about his return and fans loving him? No, he was supposed to get a title shot at WrestleMania, so I don't have a problem with that. And I don't have confidence in WWE being able to book him 3 or 4 weeks up to a title match without having him do something ridiculous. Was it a smarter play debuting Thunderdome on SmackDown to work out any kinks rather than debuting it on SummerSlam to add to the hype of a big pay-per-view? They got to add hype to the shows. They got to add hype to SmackDown and Raw because that's where they're making most of their money. And also, they didn't work out any kinks. They had a bunch of errors on Sunday and Monday. Are the pay-per-view subtitles an attempt to draw more hype for the shows, and do you expect them to stick around once fans return? I think that after this past Sunday, that you'll never see it coming type of thing, I think that people are going to pay more attention to these taglines and take them more seriously. So it's on WWE to make sure that they live up to these taglines. But because up until the last 15 minutes of the show, the prevailing joke was, oh, well, the thing that we would never see coming on SummerSlam was booking that makes sense. Do you think Wade Barrett will be signed to NXT as a talent if things don't work out on commentary? I don't. I'm not sure that Stu Bennett has any interest in being a pro wrestler. He's 40 years old. He has not worked in 4.5 years. Since he left WWE, he has not worked a single match. Not a one. I feel like if he wanted to be a pro wrestler, there would be plenty of opportunities out there. And it doesn't seem like he's that interested in that. How many matches do you think we'll have for Payback? I think 8. What matches are you looking to see Cross defend his title in NXT? I mentioned that earlier. Cole, Gargano, Ciampa, the usual suspects, but I think you got to elevate somebody else. After Randy Orton, who do you think Keith Lee will feud with next? Knowing WWE, they'll probably put him up against freaking Nia Jax or something. I think that Keith Lee should probably take on, I would say Aleister Black is a good one. I think that would be a really good name for him to go against. Seth Rollins would be a good one, too. Sorry if this has been answered already, but does Renee Young have a no-compete? I'm not sure about that. I will ask. I would be shocked if she doesn't. Kenneth Lee says, who's more likely to get inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, Lex Luger or Sid? Lex Luger, because he has done some work with the company in recent years and is much easier to deal with than Sid. Like, not even close. Hunter Gaskin says, in a recent promo, Cody states that he himself is the most hated guy in the locker room at AEW. Any truth or meaning behind this? I'm sure he feels like he is, because, as he has mentioned, he's not as close with some people as he used to be. But I have not heard anything, like, bad about Cody. I've not heard anybody shit-talking Cody. There's not a lot of shit-talking within the AEW locker room, period, that at least I experienced, that I've heard. But I could understand how he could feel that way based on his push, based on his wife getting a push and being in the ring and getting TV time, and him being the guy that helps make a lot of decisions. Jonas says, what are some practical ways to improve the discourse around wrestling? It makes it hard to have a good discussion when there's so much hostility and defensiveness from different fan bases. Ultimately, we should all just like what we like and be able to talk about it freely. I agree. I am a very defensive person, so it's hard for me to really speak on that. I'm not a hostile person. Like, if somebody goes out of their way to be a dick to me, I'm probably going to tell them to suck my nuts or something like that. Or tell them to piss off or unfollow me, because why are you following me in that case? We got a website account. You can do that there. But when people get mad over wrestling opinions, that's stupid. I had a lot of people mad at me because I thought that Naomi had better finishers that she could use than the Rear View, and I still believe that. And people will jump to, oh, that's racist. Oh, you hate Naomi. I don't hate Naomi. I don't know Naomi. Sure as shit aren't racist. But that's the go-to. And every AEW WWE post is, well, if this were AEW, if this were WWE, ugh, I'm so tired of that. You can't change it, because that's just how individuals are, and that's how they'll continue to be. Who do you consider to be the best pure babyface in wrestling right now? Cody's a good one. Jon Moxley's a good one. Hiroshi Tanahashi will always be a good one. Ah, man, that's tough, but probably going to have to go with Asuka. That's probably the best one. Who do I think is the best pure heel in wrestling right now? MJF, and it's not even close. Nowhere near close. Dylan says, with AEW opening up the venue to limited fans and releasing several wrestlers, is that a sign AEW is finally having to make moves to recover revenue because of the pandemic? Yes, but they were very fortunate to keep everything as far as their TV deal in place. They have not suffered too much by the way of viewership. So that was a leading revenue generator, but live gates were a real thing for AEW, and that's got to hurt them a bit. So yeah, I think it is. Which promotion has treated the wrestlers worse during the pandemic, NWA or MLW? I'm going to say MLW, because NWA, their wrestlers are appearing on AEW and WWE and are being able to run some events and do some stuff. MLW, I just think it's MLW. I'll say that. There's some things that I can't legally say, but there are some people that want out of their deals and are being rejected. They're being permitted to work in like AEW and stuff like that, but yeah. Don't want to get another threat of a lawsuit thrown my way. Adam says, I'm not a huge fan of Shayna, but I blame WWE for that. How is she just not the badass that beats people up? Instead, she's cutting corny promos because of Vince. I want to like her. Yeah, man. Yeah. That's all I can say is, yeah, Shayna should be a badass character. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. the writing they give her is absolute dog shit. Adam says, about to listen to Sour Graps for Raw, and it's when it's this bad with the women, at least we know Alex's show will be extra good. Alex's show is always good. He is one of the most introspective and entertaining reviewers there are. He's so good. Just curious what your overall thoughts on the AEW Saturday viewership was. I thought it was a damn good number, all things considered. Yeah, Saturday's not a good slot, but they did have a really good lead-in from the NBA, so I thought it was fine. It didn't blow me away, and it didn't disappoint me. I thought it was okay. There are different ways you could have looked at it. Saturday's a death slot. They had an NBA lead-in. What do you see the plan for the AEW tag titles leading to All Out? I think FTR probably end up winning them, and then they probably main event the next pay-per-view against the Young Bucks with them. What's next for Adam Cole? I would like to see him out of the title picture or maybe even in a tag title picture. I would like to see him do some of that. Like, why not freshen it up a little bit? Have you heard whose idea it was to turn Shayna and Nia into a tag team? I have not. And I have not asked. Jonathan says, where do Diamante and Ivelisse go from here? Well, if Ivelisse can make some friends backstage, she'll probably get signed, but that's a far ways off from what I understand. Diamante's probably going to get signed if she hasn't been already. And I would imagine would get thrust into the title picture pretty soon. Assuming Britt Baker's not back, because otherwise Britt Baker will probably be the champion. What do you think of Anna Jay in the Dark Order? Asks Ben Williams. And he says, how far do you see her going, potentially being pushed in the women's division as a result? Anna Jay's got like 15 matches. And as a result, as far as she's in right now, incredibly impressive. Incredibly impressive. She's going to be a work in progress, and she is with a great group that can help her learn how to wrestle and can help her learn how to be a character. I think in time, she can go to the very top and be a champion. I love her in Dark Order. I love her in Dark Order. Ben says, not a question, but just wanted to say a big thank you for still getting out an AEW review this week, despite there being so much going on. Your hard work is always appreciated. I appreciate that as well. AEW's the thing I enjoy watching most in pro wrestling, and I didn't want to leave you guys without a review because I knew I wasn't going to be able to on Select. I won't be able to this week on Select because I'll be doing it for the main site. So we have a Wednesday and Thursday review next, or this week. We have just a Wednesday review next week that will cover both. But we're going to get that coverage for you. That's why I have the Weekender podcast here. There are tons of people that are like, oh, Sean, can you cover GCW? Can you cover NWA, MLW, BTE, 205 Live, NXT UK? Well, I can't. Unfortunately, I watch all those shows, but I can't physically review all those shows. I liked to, and I used to, but I cannot anymore. But Steven Jensen does, and he does a great job of it. Kyle says, has Kairi Sane accepted the WWE ambassador role that she was offered? I saw her post a video of herself tagging WWE Japan and had the WWE Live Tour logo. Maybe that's an old photo. It is an old photo. I do not know if she's accepted it. I do know that that was an idea they had. They wanted her to coach. They wanted her to do a lot of things, but I do not know if she's accepted that yet. Have there been any updates regarding WWE bringing more Evolved talent in since the purchase of the promotion? I'm particularly curious about a possible Matt Sydal, Evan Bourne return to WWE under NXT. I don't know about him, but I know that many of them are being brought in on short-term deals, and they're open to bringing in a variety of people, but basically short-term prove-yourself deals. And that's not even limited to wrestlers. I think there are a couple. There's at least one ref that's being brought in as well. Kyle says, is Brandi Lauren close to signing with WWE, or has she signed with WWE? Over the past few weeks, we've seen her as an extra, and I remember other talent such as Scarlett filling the same role when she signed. I have not heard that she signed. She's got upside, plenty of upside. She worked in Evolve. It would not shock me if she was also brought in one of those short-term deals, but I have not heard that as of yet. But I've heard like WWE has interest in Anthony Green and Kurt Stallion and a lot of people like that. In that ref that I mentioned, they've got interest in all those people. Nathan Farley says, do you think AEW will have FTR win the championship belts before they face Young Bucks? I do. I think that's a marquee match, but I think you should have the tag titles there. And then you can go on to Omega and Paige. Oh, God, I just love watching AEW, and I love, like, I can see that a story's coming, but it's still good. It's still good, and that's what I like. Predictable isn't bad if it's good. Ray Callahan says, any chance to see Retribution being a cross-brand faction with Seth and Roman leading it? They left Seth alone on Monday, and obviously we saw a Roman shirt at SummerSlam. If so, I think there's a lot they can do there. I'm not opposed to that. I'm really not. But I don't see that happening, but I'm not opposed to it. Someone asked this before, and you said you'd check. Have you heard anything about how long WWE will be in the Thunderdome and how much it's costing them to run it all? Yes, the contract is through October 31st. Amway can extend that deal. WWE is paying $10,000 a night for Monday and Friday events. They're paying $12,500 for Sunday night shows, and I think $7,500 for any days that WWE does work inside of Amway. So, yeah, those are the numbers behind it. Arturo says, what's the scoop on Miz? I have no clue what you're talking about. No clue what you're talking about. Ed says, did you see the interaction between Big E and Miz on Talking Smack, and what did you think of it in light of the current landscape? I thought Miz echoed a lot of the issues that many have said about Big E needing to be serious, and Big E responded the way that he felt, and I thought it was good on both sides. Miz brought up a popular talking point and played devil's advocate. Big E shut it down in his own way. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. That's what Talking Smack is supposed to be. Ray says, EC3 is now saying he wants to destroy the TNA title. Where do you see this going? He's controlling his narrative. He's doing different things. He's not letting his past define him. That's kind of the gimmick right now, and I'm fine with that. A lot of people thought he would come in and be like, oh, I want to be TNA champion. No, he doesn't. He does not. Dev has the question that I referenced earlier, and Dev always gives some of the best questions. Do you think Bayley and Sasha should get split in the draft? Yes, I do. Every year, we get a plethora of male superstars returning for matches and segments. We know from the Rumble and Evolution that a lot of legends in the women's division can still go, so why does WWE not treat them with the same reverence, especially post-women's Evolution? I don't know. Especially when they were in a taped environment, and if they couldn't go, you could hide that. I don't have an answer for that. Like, Beth Phoenix, I'd be using her on the show. Why not? When you 50-50'd everybody, bring in a legend. Why not? I have no idea, and I have asked and not given any real answers. There is still that stigma, though. Like, oh, well, is the women's storyline that important? Yeah, it's very freaking important. In your opinion, when is the best time for WWE to start planting seeds for their Mania plans? October, November? That way you can kick them into high gear in January. Where do you see them going with the Kenny Omega storyline? Wouldn't it be a huge swerve if he aligned with FTR instead of Paige? Yeah, it would be. I think it would be, and it would be different because Kenny Omega could play off of them instead. That's an interesting one that I haven't really thought of, but yeah. I'm curious of the NWA-AEW arrangement. Would Thunder Rosa need permission for her appearance? Yes, I believe so. Derek Davis says, where is Elias at? He tore his shoulder up pretty badly, and they wrote him off with the Sheamus storyline of him getting run over. Brian D'Amber says, despite the way Keith Lee debuted, does being in a match with Randy Orton show confidence in him? No, not a bit for me. It just shows me that WWE wanted to debut him in a big spot and put him right there. But if he had won, that would instill some confidence, but in that regard. But no, not as presented to me. Sheila Antonio says, do you think the Thunderdome arrangement with no fans will encourage Sami Zayn or Brock Lesnar to return soon? I don't think that the COVID situation is necessarily what's keeping Brock Lesnar away. He appeared at WrestleMania, and I just don't know if there was anything necessarily planned. I don't know how his current deal works out. But he's never really feared stuff like that. Sami Zayn, well, if Roman Reigns is any indication, yes, but Sami Zayn was right out of there immediately. He was ready to go and get the hell out of there. But I would say that I don't think that it hurts, and I know that WWE has to take additional precautions because they are in the Amway Center, and it's not a building that they own. They are renting it. They have to take additional precautions in order to ensure safety. So I would say that as far as Sami Zayn goes, it doesn't hurt, but I don't know if that will be the thing that makes him be like, okay, yeah, I'm back. You guys mentioned that wrestlers are encouraged to get their CFO's theme replaced by a new music group. Will there be repercussions if some of those wrestlers refuse to change their entrance music? I don't think there will be repercussions necessarily, but the way that it works is that CFO signed a really, really bad deal with their publisher. And Greg Watterson or Wasserson or some shit like that. I can't remember his name. But he gets a cut of their royalties. WWE signed CFOs to a deal where they have to pay out royalties for those themes. And with Jim Johnson, it was a bit different. They owned the publishing rights and all that stuff. I'm not exactly sure about the publishing rights of CFOs, but I do know that there are some royalties involved. CFOs has completely split. They are no longer together. I believe that one of the members of the group is out of music now, based on what I've heard. And WWE wants to own everything and have worked or started this Def Rebel group and all that. And there's a Voices of Wrestling show that has some more information on that. But WWE wants a more favorable deal in that regard. And as a result, we have heard some downright shitty theme songs. Like, we've heard Elias's great theme song replaced, and we've seen Keith Lee's replaced, which I put out there he signed off on it, and he said it's out of his hands. Well, he signed off on it because it's out of his hands. I do know that there are a couple of wrestlers that told me that the music that they were offered sounded so shitty and generic that they said, no, I'm not doing that. That's going to hurt me. That's going to hurt my character. That's going to hurt my portrayal. And I respect that. I definitely respect that. I don't think there will be repercussions. It might annoy some people, some higher-ups in WWE. But ultimately, in WWE, you got to do what protects you. Sheila also says, do you think AEW allowing fans back at a limited capacity will prompt WWE to do the same for NXT at some point since they're not at the Thunderdome and they don't have to abide by the no live fans restriction? Yes, I do. Full Sail is very small. It is deceptively small. I was there in, I think it was September 2017. It is deceptively small. I walked in there and, like, it's smaller than a high school gym. And they are able to hide it really, really well. However, I think that they'll have fans there for the audio aesthetic more than anything. I don't know if they prefer to do that over what they have, which is their own recruits, which can serve as fans. They can abide by social distancing at the risk of being fined, because what are you going to do, fine fans? Good luck, buddy. Good luck. And they can also control who gets cheered for and booed. So part of me thinks, okay, well, does WWE even want to do that? Is the gate for that is definitely not worth it. But WWE does like to control their fans and control who says what. We have a question from Derek. Would you ever have your wife on a review show? You've mentioned that she likes wrestling. I had her on a members-only podcast on Select a couple years ago. We did a movie review, but as Fightful has grown, I try to keep her completely separate from that for several reasons. One, I've had people that messaged her in the past and like would say rude things. I don't want that. Two, she's a special education teacher, and some of the subject matter on our shows are not things that I want her students like Googling her and seeing pop up on the show. Like, I don't want some of those ad reads to pop up for an elementary schooler. I'm pretty cognizant of that. My Twitter is not designed for anybody under the age of 18. It should not be consumed by anybody like that. And this is her dream job. And as much as I would like to do some work with her, her dream job and her having that is more important than all that. Ultimately, it comes down to unreasonable fans. That's a thing. I have not had any of that from our regular viewers or anything, but she's had to make a lot of her social media private and where she can't be reached by people who aren't friends with her as a result of that. It's not like a pity party thing. It comes with the territory, whatever. She has done a lot of work with me. For example, when we went to Toronto last year, she was my camera woman there, and to the point where Alexa Bliss recognized her. I interviewed Alexa Bliss back in 2016 when I worked at Wrestling Inc. at the Arnold Sports Festival. And we met there and I interviewed American Alpha. My wife and I covered those 8-hour events back-to-back days. We did it in 2015, 2016. She worked as my assistant for those shows. She would help me keep notes. I was doing a lot of photography there. There are still pictures that you see floating around on websites and stuff that are used from 2016 that myself or my wife actually took at those Arnold Sports Festival events. And then fast forward to 2019, we're in Toronto and we're at the Harbor and we're doing media there. And she did she did the camera work there. She went to the shows with me and helped me keep notes there as well. And then earlier this year, I was at an Impact show in Lexington. At the Ice Center, right next to Jesus Golf, actually, and she did camera work there. She is the most patient person in the world to deal with me because I am just like I am on camera often at home, and she is so patient. And, I love working with her, but I don't want her to deal with weirdos. Not you guys, just weirdos. Thank you guys so much. Until next time, we're out.